It was the evening of August 16th, 1987. Northwest Flight 255 had just taken off from Detroit Metro Airport, headed to Arizona and ultimately California. It never got more than some 40 feet off the ground before crashing and killing 148 passengers, 6 crew members, and 2 people on the ground, 156 souls. But for many of us in Washtenaw County, we'll never forget the photo in the Ann Arbor News of the miracle survivor, 4-year-old Cecilia Sheehan, with a big pink bow the nurses had wrapped around her head as she sat in her hospital bed at the University of Michigan. That's how I like to remember what happened that day. For our first responders, their memories are much different. Joining us today is Andrew Graves. Andy is a former Ann Arbor resident. He lived on my street on Yost Boulevard. He's younger, but we grew up together. Mm-hmm. He left Yost Boulevard in 1985. 2 years later was the crash. You were working with Huron Valley Ambulance.
Correct.
You were one of those first responders.
I was.
Take us back to that day and what you remember.
The day was normal. My partner and I started our shift in Ypsilanti at about 7 a.m. The Ypsilanti unit was the busiest truck in our entire system, so we were pretty busy just doing normal everyday runs. But it did not have any inclination or indication that something like this was coming. And then we were in our station when the accident happened, and we heard 2 station alarms go off back-to-back, which in our system is super unusual. And we can recognize the tones that come over the radio to set off the station alarms. We heard the Belleville unit go first, and then us. So we were thinking multiple patient car accident, house fire, just something, you know, a little bit above and beyond the normal. And then we got in the truck and checked on the air with our dispatchers, and they told us you are responding to Metro Airport for an aircraft down. And that is one of those moments you never want to hear.
You had no idea what you were going to see when you got there.
No. And then in those initial moments, we had no idea what kind of plane, how big, how many people. And about halfway there, we got word that it was a commercial plane and we could expect somewhere between 120 and 180 victims, which, again, is something you never want to hear.
You hoped and prayed you'd find some who you could help.
Correct. Yep. And then we arrived. Our Belleville unit approached the scene from the south and we came in from the north. So we came down Middle Belt Road just north of 94 and parked just north of where the main section of the fuselage came to rest. And in that time it took us to get from Ypsilanti to the scene, the sole survivor, Cecilia, had already been found and had been transported. So we never even heard a word that anything had happened with her, that someone had survived. And it wasn't until the next morning when I saw our picture in the Detroit Free Press, and in a tiny little blurb below the picture, small girl survives. And that was like this ray of hope after an unbelievably traumatic night.
You had gone through so much during that time looking for people that needed your help and realizing there weren't any there. And then to find out there had been one.
Yes. Yeah, that was just, it was like this, the first positive thing that you could hold on to and go, wow, that's just unbelievable. You know, how anybody survived that is beyond us. And then my partner and I, when we parked, there was one of the vehicles on the ground that had been struck. That had a victim in it that was not survivable. And then we proceeded into the crash scene and walked all the way down Middle Belt Road and back and up onto the hill where the memorial is today, checking every single person and very quickly realizing that we were not going to be able to help anybody. And that's just, it's difficult when we have to do that for like just a one-person incident where someone passes away and is beyond help. It's difficult when you think of like a couple-victim car accident where people can't survive, or a house fire that claims the lives of a few people. But to have that happen for 156 people in literally the blink of an eye was something that was devastating to deal with at the moment and carried on a lifetime journey of resolving and just learning to accept and deal with that night.
Do you ever fully recover, fully accept, fully make peace?
I think you learn to deal with it. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, did you find closure? And closure to me signifies an ending. And to me, with things like this, or like losing a child, losing a parent, there's never closure. It always just hurts in a way. We learn to deal with it and kind of learn to accept it, but there is no closure. It's something we carry with us forever. And for me, simple things can take me back to the memory of the crash, like looking at my clock and it's 2:55 p.m. brings up the crash. Driving to work, I work in Pontiac, just north of Detroit Metro Airport, you know, a little bit north, where you can see airplanes coming and going in the flight pattern. So you see those planes and that thought instantly pops into your head. And for decades, that would take me back to that night, that very dark time of being there as a first responder. Thankfully, I started going to the memorial service after 20 years, which was a major mental hurdle to be at that scene, at that date, at that time. But that was the best thing I ever did for my mental health, because it started balancing that 2.5 hours that we were on the scene with new experiences that, although were clouded or shaded by the tragedy, were positive.
Especially the bonding that you've had with the family members.
Yep. The family members. The first year I went, I met a guy named Tony, who I recognized from the media coverage, and he is the guy that coordinates the memorial. So I went and introduced myself to him. I talked to a few other fellow first responders that I recognized. But the step of talking to the other family members was too much that first year. And Tony offered, "Would you like to meet some people?" And I was like, "No, I can't." Because I just didn't know how they were going to react to the first responders. And I noticed very quickly that the family members sat close to the memorial. The first responders kind of hung in the background. And I didn't know if we were like intruding or not welcome. And then the next year I started meeting the family members. And what were they like? Overwhelmingly loving, supportive, you know, hugs. I'm so glad you came down. We appreciate what you did for us. And just that, again, a positive experience coming from the tragedy. And it's been a growing process every year to just start building more things that are just positive memories. So now I have that 2.5 hours of tragedy and literally hundreds of hours of positive experiences that, although shaded by tragedy, are still there. And that's what I think of now when I think of the crash.
I can see why they embraced you, because mm-hmm. you and the other first responders were there with their loved ones mm-hmm. when they couldn't be mm-hmm. in their final moments.
Right.
How powerful that must be
yep.
to have that bond between you and them.
Yes, and I think what was just so comforting was how supportive they were. You know, they never asked for details like, "What did you see?" It was always, "Thank you for being there.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it, and we know how hard it was for you because you wanted to help, and there was nothing you could do." But again, it was just so loving and supportive that me and my wife instantly felt welcome. And now, if you can believe this, we look forward to going every year.
Wow. We're talking with Andrew Graves, former Ann Arborite. His mom still lives here mm-hmm. in Ann Arbor. He grew up here, and he is recounting the experiences he had 33 years ago working for Huron Valley Ambulance and responding to the crash of Flight 255 at Detroit Metro Airport. 33 years later, mm-hmm. and you're still putting it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've done something now that will help complete that for you.
Yes.
That sense of trying to figure out, yep. you know, you had PTSD, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes, yep. I suffered from relatively frequent nightmares, occasionally flashbacks that could at times be debilitating. Not often, but they get your attention. And then every year at the crash anniversary time, like the couple days before and the couple days after, I would just get very depressed and very withdrawn, and then come back out of it on like the 17th, 18th of August, a couple days after the crash. That was an every year pattern for almost 20 years.
Wow. What are you doing today?
Today, I am working on a musical project. So my passion, other than my public safety career and my faith and my family, is music. And I had this dream of writing a song about my experiences in some way. And the permanent memorial to the crash went up in 1994. On the back of that memorial is an absolutely beautiful poem called Final Flight, written by a guy named Duane Adams. And the first time I saw that, it just moved me. And after wiping the tears out of my eyes, to me as a musician, poetry is music lyrics. They flow very similarly. And I thought, wow, that could be a song, or maybe I could write a song. And just carried that memory with me for a few years. And then around 2003, I tried to start writing this song, but it was only from the first responder's perspective, and it just didn't flow, and I kind of dropped the idea. And then 15 years later, Right around the time of the 2019 memorial service, I had just teamed up with my friend Mindy sitting here next to us. Mindy is an amazing vocalist, and we had talked about recording one song, and that was right around the time of the memorial service. I came back from the memorial and started thinking, why don't I try to tackle this again? I have this wonderful vocalist, and I know a bunch of people I can invite to come record this stuff. So started writing the song. It's called August Rain. The title had been with me since very shortly after I saw that poem on the memorial. So the title has been with me for almost 25 years. And with the energy from the memorial and Mindy's incredible vocals waiting to sing this song, the chord structure and basic elements of the song were born very, very quickly. And then shared both the song idea and the story behind it with Mindy, which was a little scary because it is a very powerful subject to sing about. And I was actually scared that I would scare her away and she'd be like, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's listen to the angelic sounds of Mindy Odom singing August Rain. This is backed up by your Christian rock band, Pivotal Awakening. Let's take a listen on 1290 WLBY. So beautiful. Mindy Odom, you were 4 years old when Flight 255 crashed. Same age as that sole survivor, Cecilia Sheehan. And here you are 33 years later singing this beautiful song in memory of those great souls.
Yes, life has a funny way of being full circle, and I'm honored to be the vocals for this song.
You have a gorgeous voice.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me how you and Andy Graves met.
Yeah, so we play in our church worship band, and I am vocals, Andy is bass, and we had struck up a friendship like you do. It feels kind of like a family for our little worship team. And one day he approached me about a song, and I was shocked. I never in a million years thought that, you know, I would be in a recording studio. And then he approached me about August Rain not far after that first couple of times in the studio. And I thought, well, why not? Mm-hmm. We can do this.
Mm-hmm. Did you go back and look at some of the coverage? How did you get into the moment of feeling this song?
I have an insatiable thirst for knowledge, and so when Andy shared his story with me, it was a very heartfelt conversation that we had. I could tell where his story was coming from, and that he was a little bit nervous in sharing it with me, and I cried and through the emotion that I could feel from him. And so I went home, and I did as much research as I possibly could. I had already known about the flight and had known a little bit about it, but I just dove headfirst into it. And Andy, of course, shared things with me. And we also took a trip to the memorial site with our spouses, and we made an evening of it. And I just asked a lot of questions and tried to do the best I could to put myself in a place that I would be able to sing in a way that could honor the words of the song, the lyrics, and the family members that had experienced such a tragic event.
Andy, what did that do for you to share such intimate details and moments that you've been going through for so long with a person who had such a pivotal role
yes, yes.
In this song for you,
yeah.
but someone who didn't have the innate knowledge that mm-hmm. those of us who are older of what happened at
right.
that time.
Well, it was actually a bit of a step for me to share this with her because I've held that very privately throughout my life. There's only a few people that knew about this. You know, obviously my wife, a couple other people, a couple of coworkers, but it's not something that I trumpeted out to the world. So it was a little bit nervous for me to share that with Mindy, and I'm a little bit kind of guarded personally, just as my nature. So to share something that's that deeply personal and emotional was quite a step. But I believed in Mindy, and you know, we've become just amazingly great friends and musical partners. But again, it was part of that healing process to take this tragic experience and weave it through our passion of music, and now try to be moving on to doing something positive with it to benefit the families. It's a feeling you can't put into words, honestly.
You're doing something so wonderful, too, mm-hmm. to help out others.
Yes.
Who have helped others.
Right. So one of the things we've been conscious of since day one was just how much bigger than us this story is, and there are people that are affected by it in many, many different ways. I mean, we could literally come up with a thousand different ways that people were touched by this flight. Families that lost someone, first responders that responded. One of my coworkers of the night told me she flew over the crash scene the day after the crash. Just people that somehow were touched by this, and that is just thousands of people. We were very, very conscious of the families, and we shared the lyrics of the song and a few in-progress versions of the song with my friend Tony, the guy that coordinates the memorial, and asked for his feedback. And if he had said, no, I don't like this, we may have recorded the song just for us, but never would have released it. The feedback from a family member was just that critically important to us. And then we also shared it with the Flight 255 family Facebook page the day we completed it. Again, just letting you know this is coming. And the same story, we've shared it with Tony. You guys know Tony. He is kind of blessed what we're doing. And we have done this in a way that we are trying to honor the victims and carry it forward into something in terms of a charitable outreach.
How can people access the song?
The song is available on any streaming service, so Apple Music, Spotify. It just went up on Pandora. You can also find us on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. All of our songs and some other cool videos are on there, including one that is the story of August Rain, which is about 5 minutes of us describing where this song came from. And we actually released that to our Facebook followers before the song came out because it was so important for us to have that story known.
Andrew Graves and Mindy Odom and the song, again, August Rain, mm-hmm. in memory of what happened on that fateful August day, 1987. Mm-hmm. On the Lucy Ann Lance Show, next week, we'll find out more about the making of the song and also how they are doing today in context with what Andy had to go through and the other first responders as well. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.